Blog Talk Radio.
From the battle over the canvas to the battle over free speech, and coming from a small reinforced camoed and highly reinforced for Second Amendment purposes, single wide trailer. Kelly here. In case you haven't heard it, on May the 4th, 2015, at 6:06, there was an attack yesterday during a free speech event in Texas. And it was obviously radical Muslims. So in the midst of a lot of stuff going on across the United States, people minding their business, going to work, et cetera, there was an attack on some people who were having a contest that was meant to decide who had the best Muhammad cartoon. Now, you may or may not think that that would be a good use for anybody's time, but the fact of the matter is, and I've been thinking about this, by the way, what do you think about that when you hear that there was a contest to draw the best Muhammad cartoon, 523-1450. In the midst of that contest, or at the end of it, there was a gun battle that erupted. Two men showed up and had weapons and began to fire on security forces. So here's a little bit about that. All right, so how would you feel about them coming to, say, Las Cruces and having this kind of a contest? You know, some sort of a Muhammad contest, and then for there to be gunplay that erupted. Would you be upset, or would you say we're standing up for our free speech? We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Good morning, Patty. What's up?
Not much. It sounds to me like it could possibly be like a setup by design to call out martial law to me.
Who is it's divine?
If somebody is behind is this event, okay, it's being financed by somebody.
All right.
You have to think outside the box here a little bit, too. And it could be so that they can call out martial law. Something happens at the event, and that allows them to call out and roll out the martial law.
So that's the only explanation?
I'm just saying.
That's the only explanation in your mind?
Well, that's why I'm thinking outside the box, and that's one explanation. I would like for it to go the other way. Maybe have an event where everything turns out good.
So... Well, do you think
that... I got to go.
Okay, thanks, Patty. Just asking folks if you think it's a good or a bad thing to have these type of contests. I mean, you could compare it to the... well, I don't know if you'd want to compare it to the coyote contest, but you might want to say a state contest in which it is needlessly provocative. But is there an upside? Is it possible that by doing this, you are going to smoke out these radical... I mean... In a way, it's kind of almost hilarious that you would put on this kind of a contest and these people would show up, like Patty says, almost on cue, like from Central Casting, and they're going to show up and shoot. And they did get one guy that they shot in the leg, an unarmed security guard, but basically both of them got killed. I mean, I don't know. And by the way, it was just on the outskirts of Dallas, so here's a little bit more on that. All right, we have a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, yes, this is Paul Jaramillo.
Hey, Paul Jaramillo, good morning to you, and what's on your mind?
Oh, about the what happened over there in Texas.
All right, so what's your opinion? What's your reaction?
Oh, it was just the radical Islamics who attacked the art exhibit because... They've done it in Europe and especially after they killed the Hebdo people, the cartoon the nephew of Van Gogh and everything else. It's the same thing.
Well, do you think that it's a stupid thing to do, or do you think it's there's some strategy behind it? The contest.
It was really just about freedom of speech, I believe.
Yeah. But I mean, when you saw that, you know, the obvious thing happened, these guys showed up and started shooting, did you blame it on the people who had the contest, or did you blame it on the Muslim terrorists?
The Muslim terrorists are the ones to blame because, you know, free society, you have to expect that there's people who take things too far, you know, because in a Christian woman. Would do the things like that, you know, like let's just imagine a Christian going crazy if you made a depiction of the prophet Jeremiah or something like that, and nobody would mind it. But for some reason, if you depict a cartoon of Muhammad, I have no idea why they go so ballistic about it. I don't understand.
What do you think about the people that blame the people that have the contest and say basically? You're just causing trouble for the rest of us. Leave it alone. What would you say to those people who
I think it's just about freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of speech is more important than especially if you're being blackmailed by people who are crazy over just a simple depiction of a prophet who nobody even knows how he looks like. It was around 1400 years mm-hmm. ago, and it's, you know, I don't understand why they go so ballistic over just a depiction of a human being.
Well, some people say it's the part of their religion. Other people say it's because they want to keep control, and they use that as an excuse to control other people. So, well, Paul, I appreciate the call, and thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, folks, let me get to the rest of this clip here. And 523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. Here's a little more from that clip. All right, so I don't believe we heard that whether there were explosives in the vehicle, but it does harken back to this ISIS camp that they said was set up, and then they claimed that there was no such thing, and then it was set, you know, so kind of back and forth. These people, here's the thing that caught my attention. These people came from somewhere. They either came over the border or they were here already. If they were here already, it's what I believe you would call a sleeper cell. So, 523-1450 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We will be back after a brief word from our sponsor, the sponsor of the show, Ross and Builder Supply. Kelly here, 6:20. All right, so this shooting was the result of the provocation, the provocation of these Muslims who reacted to this cartoon contest, and I believe, you know, you could say that who knows if they are Muslims. For the sake of the argument, I haven't heard that confirmed, but the strong suspect, you know, it's strongly suspected that they are. Let's just get a little bit more. And by the way, we do have some other news. If you were fans of boxing, you know how the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight turned out. Mayweather handily beat Pacquiao, but Pacquiao was never really hurt. Mayweather was probably hurt as often as Pacquiao, but Pacquiao didn't throw as many punches as he usually does, and there was something that was not stated until after the fight was over, which was that he had a injured shoulder, which I thought was kind of cheesy. I mean, he came out after the fight, number one, said he thought that he had won. Number two, that he had an injured shoulder, and then Mayweather turned around and said, "Well, I had a lot of injuries too, but you know, If I lose, I just, you know, thank my opponent. Of course, he's never lost. So here is, according to ABC WJLA, they have found the identity of one of the shooters. All right, so Elson, whatever his face was, from Arizona. We've got, obviously, the foundation for motivation for an attack. Here's my question is, do you think that it's stupid to provoke these people? I mean, first of all, was it the purpose of these people who put on the contest to provoke, or were they just trying to make a point? Now, they said that they were doing it in response to the Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris that killed 12 people. On the alternative, though, you could argue that these type of things are needlessly provocative. But, I mean, if that is true, then what you're doing is basically, at some point, I think you're saying that it is up to the Muslims to decide what kind of a, you know, what kind of a country we're going to have, whether we can do anything that we want, or if we have to go off of a checklist. Now, you might want to say that that's exactly what Islam, or radical Islam, whatever you want to refer to it as, is looking for, that type of a response. Here's another on this. So this free speech event in Garland, Texas, the people who put it on is actually a lady by the name of a lady who has Atlas Shrugged blog. And I actually published an article for her, I think in 2008. I submitted something and it got it published there. So nice lady. She was real nice to me. She was putting this thing on. She's kind of a wealthy, Pam Geller, she's a wealthy kind of a socialite from New York City, who, a Jewish lady that after 9/11 decided that she was going to get involved, that she was anti-Muslim, that she didn't, you know, didn't accept this kind of innocence of Islam, this most peaceful religion. And so she's put a lot of stuff on her blog over the years, and a lot of it has to do with Islam. I mean, she's basically got a Muslim blog, very popular. So, all right, 625 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. If you want to give your opinion on this, whether these kind of contests are a good idea or a bad idea. I mean, you could argue that these a contest like this could be the best thing that you could ever do, because it's going to kind of smoke these people out. It's going to flush them out and get them to come and attack. But there's going to be a price, too. I mean, they could have just as easily killed a lot of people. It's Kelly here, 629. So anyway, we've got this situation in Texas with a Islamic attack. I think it's been confirmed now. It's pretty obvious that it was, but got to get some confirmation. And my question is, this guy's name almost sounded American as opposed to Middle Eastern, so, but you never know. He was one of the people in the past who had been linked to radical statements, and his name was Elton Simpson. So anyway, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming out about this. Now, about the fight, were you disappointed? I was kind of disappointed. I felt like the fight was underperforming, and maybe Pacquiao was he was injured. It's possible. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Tom.
Hey, what's up, Tom? Turn down that radio.
It is down.
All right.
I just wanted to call in and kudos and congratulations to the Texas law enforcement officers who took out two terrorists. God bless them. I hope they get commendation. They were quick and Johnny on the from what I heard, the terrorists only hit the guard in the ankle.
Yeah, something like that.
So score one for the good guys. Two more homicidal psychopaths to count.
Now,
God bless America. Tom, that's it for me.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. Well, what about the idea that we're going to lure people into the country that are going to attack because of these type of things? You know, what do you think about that angle? All right, I've got Sugar Shane Mosley here, one of the great fighters of his day, talking about the Pacquiao fight and Mayweather in top five and feels Mayweather was hurt in the fight. All right, Sugar Shane Mosley sounds a little bit punch drunk there, doesn't he? All right, so I've got Jerry Schickadance is supposed to be coming in here and to talk about this board of natural resources that we're having the vote on tomorrow. So that will be interesting, coming at the second hour. One of the things that upset people during the fight was Jamie Foxx singing the national anthem, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. But see if I can get a little bit of that. And I heard it, and I just sounded a little bit gospely, you know. So they say they say that he got mixed reviews, which I think is true. Didn't really sound that bad to me, but it was not a traditional. I'll play a little bit of it for you, but not a traditional. Was not a traditional approach to it. Check this out from ABC News. I mean, it wasn't exactly Sam Cooke there, but it's Jamie Foxx. I guess he must be a Christian, be up there singing Hallelujah during the song, but do you think that was appropriate or inappropriate? 523-1450. I think that Jamie Foxx has gotten a lot of criticism over the years for being cocky and that type of thing, so that I'm sure doesn't help out. But anyway, that fight was, I guess it underperformed in the sense that it was not a knockout, and it was also not, it was not really that close. So people, I just think there were a lot of people out there that were Manny Pacquiao fans that once again, don't like Mayweather because he's arrogant as well. We have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Antonio.
Antonio, God bless you. What's up?
God bless you. I wanted to say that Jamie Foxx really disappointed me when Barack Hussein Obama won the second time.
Uh-huh.
And I had saw a news clip that Israel had put out, and I didn't see it in the States or hear about it in the States. I don't know if it did come out. But when he won the second term, he was saying that my Lord and Savior, my Lord, my Savior, and he stood up and had everybody clap that Obama won.
So he was referring to Obama as his Lord and Savior.
As his Lord and Savior, and he said it like two or three times, and he got the crowd all riled up and standing up and clapping for him. So he had really upset me, and I don't want to watch any of his movies or listen to anything because there's only one king, and he's actually our Kingsman Redeemer because it was through his blood that he redeemed us. And the only one that's worthy of worship like that is our Lord and King Yeshua, Jesus. And I could see if you're happy that he won, you know, clap, cheer for him, but don't call him Lord and Savior, because he's not the Lord and Savior of this country.
Yeah, I mean, it is, that's mystifying. I mean, you know, one of the things that I would say is that, you know, unless you're a real partisan, unless your whole idea of life is politics, I don't see that, you know, you can get up and say that Obama has had a messianic run. You know, there's been a lot of things that people will point to as mistakes. I mean, he's no, you know, Caesar Augustus or whatever. But not that Caesar Augustus was a messiah, but at least there would be an argument that he had the Pax Romana, that he did some remarkable things. But it seems like the triumph of partisanship, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you think maybe you could find that clip?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I can dig it up.
All right, thank you.
Let me check my pockets here, but no, I'll find it for you.
All right, thank you. God bless you. Have a good day.
You too, Antonio. Weird, huh? I mean, this is one of the things that really makes me wonder about leftism. It's far leftism has this sense of an inevitability that we've got to go in this direction. So, it's mystifying to see the and this is not an attack on Obama. This is just kind of a reflection on the type of people who rise to the top in far leftism. It tends to be the last person you'd want to see run anything. All right. So let's take a little break as I try to find this clip for Antonio. Kelly O'Connell. And AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. We're going to have Jerry Schicka dance in just a few minutes. And I'll be looking for this thing where Obama's called the Messiah. I mean, I remember in the beginning when it seemed like the sky was the limit, you know? But now? It's 6:42. It's the 4th of May. And I'm looking for this thing where Jamie Foxx calls Obama Messiah. Let me hold on a second. I don't think I've ever heard it before. You never know. I mean, you always kind of wonder what these people are like. You know, personally and stuff. I saw kind of an interesting interview with Jamie Foxx and a number of other big stars. And basically, Jamie Foxx admitted that he had spent a lot of time trying to get to know a lot of these people that were in this thing. I'm trying to remember the other big black actor that he had tried to get. What's the name of the guy that was, I can't remember. Anyway, I'll remember. But this guy basically, this other black guy said that, I'll find his name here, that he made it sound like he hated Hollywood and he hated actors. He hated the business, but it was just a way to make money. It was very, it's very kind of an interesting interview, though. All of these stars, you could see how they interacted with the public and with each other and stuff. And who was Denzel Washington had became basically Jamie Foxx had tried to get close to Denzel Washington, who must have treated him like an insect. But all right, so here I've got this clip from Jamie Foxx calling Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. This is from Soul Train, by the way. I mean, that sounds so crazy, doesn't it? I mean, if I heard somebody say something like that next, it was standing around me, I would really wonder if they were mentally ill. It's totally ridiculous, but it just shows you that there's this tendency for politics to turn into religion. And we have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Greg. This is
Greg.
What's up?
Hey, I couldn't agree more with Antonio. Concerning Jamie Foxx, he's entitled to his own opinion. He's a racist. He's an idiot. And I think he was disrespectful when he sang that national anthem.
Yeah, I mean, when the little bit that I've ever paid attention to Jamie Foxx, I get the feeling that, I mean, I've heard it before, and I've heard some things that he said that seemed like he was racist, but it seems to me like he's making fun of people, like, to a certain extent. The thing with the national anthem, he's not just doing it jazz style or gospel style. He's also provoking and trying to make fun of people who he considers beneath him. That's just my impression of the guy.
I agree. And on another note, I wouldn't pay $100 to see this fight, and I didn't. I did look at the tape afterwards, and I saw the comments that were posted on several blogs, and I think you would have been better off paying $50 to a couple of bums and watching them. I think it's called bum fights.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the money Mayweather got, and I guess he got it for being the greatest hugger of all time.
Well, he kept putting Manny Pacquiao under his armpit, and he never got a point taken away, which I thought was kind of ridiculous, because that would take away a lot of your energy if somebody kept doing that to you.
Right. Well, anyway, hey, have a great day and a great show.
Thanks a lot, Greg. All right, folks. 6:47. Just kind of looking at some more of this. Some more of this stuff on the Muslim attack. But here is so these cops have all been indicted, I think six cops. Interestingly enough, two white cops, they both look the same, they're both bald. Two black cops, two male cops, and then a black female cop. So the idea that this is a bunch of white people that beat Freddie Gray up is not true. Now, they were talking about Rough Rides, and I was wondering, were these Rough Rides where they put somebody in the back of a paddy wagon and they don't tie the person down, and so when they're driving around, the person can fall over. I'm wondering if it's possible that this happened to this guy, that he fell back and maybe hit his head, kind of a freak accident. Here's Baltimore. The Baltimore mayor is under an enormous amount of pressure, at least some pressure. I guess, you know, the fact that she's female, the fact that she's black is a little bit of protection for her from public criticism. But here is Baltimore mayor to police officials, let them loot its only property. And this is a couple of statements are what got her into hot water. One of which was that you can let them loot, that you can give them space to destroy. All right, so what's your opinion, 523-1450? I think that this lady is in over her head. She didn't really have any knowledge how to respond during a crisis. Just my opinion. There's this very strange picture of this woman. This is kind of a classic shot of a black politician. She's standing there at the podium with all these microphones. She's got behind her a number of people that are apparently ministers, and one of which has a coat that has a collar, you know, a little white piece at the neck, and then it's got leather sleeves, and the rest is wool. It's kind of a weird-looking outfit. Looks like an S&M priest. Let's check this out. Another caller, 523-1450. Kelly O'Connell, who's this?
It's Karen. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, remember last week when I said no, that, you know, we were just taking her words out of context when Walt was there? Dumb. Because, you know, the thing with this lady, with the mayor, is that what they said is that post-Ferguson, she sat on the board to evaluate what happened in Ferguson, for, you know, from all aspects. Mm-hmm. And one of their big things was how the police came in over-militarized, and it was too much for the residents. And so that's what they're saying has happened. She sat on this board. She saw what happened when the police go in there with a heavy force. So she came in with a soft hand, and she allowed them to loot. And the other thing that the people are not reporting, I believe CBS reported this, the New York Times did report this, and Fox News reported this, is that when those two different gang groups came together, they did protect black-owned stores, but they purposely told the looters, you go hit the Asians and the Arab-owned stores. And the main majority of the media will not report this, but the New York Times even reported that. So this lady was on the Ferguson board, and she did the exact opposite of Ferguson, and this is the price they paid.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of times you pick up the tone or the you know, the body language, the tone or whatever people are saying, and the tone that I picked up from her, that she was kind of influenced by the Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons out there, that on the surface she's this leader of all the people, but underneath she's kind of a black, you know, she's involved in this black movement, which
right.
is looking to bring all of this aggrievement up to the surface and have riots and you know, kind of vent all this frustration. And what they're really doing is creating frustration instead of going after this problem like a problem, you know, instead of going after it in a colorblind manner,
right?
She's got it, and it's kind of this code speak, you know, like a white politician could not have a bunch of ministers behind them giving speeches, you know?
No, it's but this is where we've come to now is you know, if you've even listened to some of the preachers and ministers out there on the street that were calming the people, they did a great job. But it was still pretty, I don't know if the word radical is right, But, yes. but they're condoning. They are condoning.
Radical is right.
Yeah,
Radical is right because what they do is they come up with a different spin on this stuff. And if you, you know, you tap down into a few layers, they're going to say something along the lines of, well, what do you expect in a 200 years of oppression?
Irrationalized.
Yeah.
Irrationalized. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is that the police commissioner, who's that black gentleman, I forget his name, Batts, he's out of Oakland. And what the police officers are saying, the street officers are saying, is that this guy came from Oakland, and Oakland has the same thing about, you know, well, these people, you know, they've been so oppressed, you've got to let them vent.
Yeah.
And so it's volatile and it's bad. It doesn't work for the community because it does foment more anger and violence.
Well, it also gives the idea that the, you know, it's exactly what the these people are have been protesting in the past is basically, we don't want to be treated as, you know, an unwanted minority. Mm-hmm. We want colorblind leadership. And then you turn around and you get the total opposite from the reverse angle, you know?
Exactly. And one last thing is, these police officers that were coming in from other entities, you know, from other counties and cities, also said that when they arrived in their riot gear and everything, and they were making them take all that stuff off. They made them remove their pads, their black gloves, because they did not want them to look ominous and threatening to the neighborhood. Crazy.
Well, we'll see what the result is. And this lady looks like a complete fool, but I suspect she's not going to have to pay the price for her mistakes. Anything else, Karen?
No.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, here she is. The mayor's saying we've got to have a balancing act. We have to give them room to destroy, which is a ridiculous idea. I mean, for one thing, what about the people whose stuff is destroyed? Why do they have to be, you know, this kind of forced victim? How does letting somebody destroy stuff de-escalate? That's what I'd like to know. All right, and then here's another clip where she's demanding justice for Freddie Gray. This struck me as really troubling to listen to. Not that we don't need justice if he was attacked, but how does she know? We don't even know what happened yet. What we were talking about last week, we're not going to have time for the whole clip, but let me take it down a little bit farther. Well, this clip's a bit, little bit wonky, but anyway, she says at the end of this clip, we will get justice for Freddie Gray. And these are the things that stick out. I think that she's got a certain way of presenting herself, but at sometimes she comes across as not just a leader of all the people, but as an advocate, and an advocate for a certain type of racial politics that I think is not serving Baltimore well. But as Karen said, I think it's becoming more and more common. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, and it is, by the way, 60 degrees outside, 85 is the high, 60 the low, about 5 miles an hour wind. We will be back, in theory, with Jerry Shigadans. Good morning, Kelly. 7:06, the 4th of May. And listening to AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. It is 523-1450 to call in an ISIS strike in Texas. And this strike is related to the cartoon event that they had for Muhammad. And they were going to give $10,000 to the best cartoon. And so that turned out to be a bloodbath. And the two people that came up to kill the people who put on the cartoon are now dead. And there was a security guard that was shot in the leg. So that's so now there. Now we're talking again about whether there are camps in the in Mexico that could have these people. Although I think one of the people that came over was from Arizona, which I guess doesn't really prove anything. But anyway, we've got Jerry Shigadance here at the studio, and good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Kelly. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. And for those listeners who don't know who you are, could you give them a little background? I know you're an emeritus professor at NMSU.
Yes, I'm a 45-year resident. I'm a displaced Okie, but spent 30 years in the College of Agriculture and Home Economics and retired as dean of the College of Ag.
And when did you retire?
Oh, starting to get...
A few years ago?
2005 on Halloween.
Mm. All right. Steve Wilmoth came and talked about his interest and his support for this board, getting people who are local and getting people that are not ideologues. Could you remind people the board we're talking about?
Okay. I'm currently a candidate for position one of the Doniana Soil and Water Conservation District. Not because I want to be a politician, but because the opposition is forcing me to be a candidate. I believe in production agriculture, and I was raised in production agriculture in Oklahoma on a farm and ranch. And as I said earlier, I spent over 30 years in the College of Ag at NMSU. And I have a hard time setting on the sidelines and watch production agriculture being abused by the environmental activist. The Soil and Water Conservation District is a government entity, state government entity, that is involved with protection of farm and, and property from floods. And probably one of the big things, their task is to protect the tax base of the county. And that's very important here in Doniana County. The agriculture industry is quite important to the economic machinery here in Doniana County. In fact, I believe the I just saw some figures the other day that the ag industry in Doniana County is a little over $700 million annual impact to Doniana County every year, and that's quite a number. We've been accused of being against things, and the Green Chamber, I believe, was promoting the National Monument that was going to bring in $7.4 million, new money. That's only 1% of what ag industry produces every year in Doniana County.
Well, let me ask you this, kind of throw this out there, the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak. There is a group of people who believe that they are fighting to save the earth and to save mankind from itself, and that when they are involved in these type of fights, they're on the side of the right and people are on the side of the wrong. What would you say to a person who was trying to make their mind between these two positions? What evidence, what argument would you put out there?
Well, I certainly would back the ag industry because it is important. And we've been accused of being against the National Monument as something to excite the environmental community. But we're opposed to the National Monument because it was going to restrict access and limit access into the watershed where we need to work on maintenance of old dam structures, provide for new structures, and work on the watershed vegetation manipulation and stuff to slow down the flow. And so I think that's that trumps all of the other kinds of scare tactics that the environmental movement is producing.
And so you have you have practical points when you're attacked, this kind of leftist group who are kind of bringing forward this ideology. I think even they, a lot of them would agree that there's an ideology. There's a set of beliefs that come together that are almost like a religion. Your response is, from a practical level, we've got to take care of our resources and we have to defend ourselves from natural disasters.
Certainly, you know, the Salt and Water Conservation District was established by law that policy and purpose is to conserve and develop the natural resources of the state, provide for flood control, preserve wildlife, protect the tax base, and promote the health and safety and general welfare of the people of New Mexico. And I think that's pretty basic. And the current board of supervisors are experienced agriculturists who have a stake in Doniana County and are certainly looking out for the general public's welfare.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting about this debate is one group constantly tries to claim the higher ground. They are more morally pure. They are not motivated by economic gain. They're not destroying the nature. They're preserving, you know, and all this stuff. I think it's confusing to people who are trying to fact find.
Oh, yes. And I guess what I would say to that is that the producers out on the land are producing income, producing a viable tax base for this county, and the environmental community seems to have a lot of time on their hands to promote pretty pictures, but pretty pictures don't sell very well when you're hungry or when you have needs or when a flood comes through your house, as it did last fall over on Shalem Colony. those houses were flooded out because of need for maintenance in the watershed above those houses. And so I guess I would like to say I'm on the side of good and not evil, but they seem to try to turn that around, as you said, that evil is now good and good is evil.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of strikes me that in the way that they approach it, everything in its natural state is good, and anything that man does to change the environment, even a little bit, is an evil thing.
Well, I think that kind of gets back to maybe a little of the concept that if a scientist says that it's good, then it must be good. And there's not really anything to back that up. You know, we all like to believe that science is the saving grace of all things, but there are scientists who get involved in pay for play.
Yeah.
And it's hard to distinguish now between what is the research that's been motivated by some ulterior motives, not in the search of pure science.
There's an example during this most recent disaster where this guy flew this plane into the ground, and then the story about the gentleman, James, whatever his name was, that shot the people in the theater, that the psychiatric medication doesn't work, and one of the top scientists, psychiatrists from Harvard, was actually getting money on the side from the drug companies and wasn't telling anybody. So there is no such thing as this just science existing by itself, pure, without any corruption on its own. It goes by each scientist, the methods that they're using, and their motivations.
True, and if there's not science just for science's sake anymore, which is sad to say, because scientists have to live and they have to follow the money. And so if the money is research over in a particular area, but maybe not be important to some things that are going on locally, that's where they will go. And they'll follow that money, and many times they get corrupted in the process.
Indeed. Well, I'm talking to Jerry Schickenance. We are discussing the Soil and Water Conservation Board election that's coming tomorrow. And where are those election spots?
Oh, the polls are open 7 to 7 in the Anthony and Radium Springs Community Center, or the Doniana County Government Center on Motel Boulevard.
And what are the hours for that?
7 in the morning till 7 p.m.
Okay, 7 to 7. Yeah. Folks, talking to Jerry Schickenance about something that's very important locally. It's the conservation or the use and development of our natural resources. Kelly O'Connell, 717, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. We will be right back.
I may throw a few rocks at the Sierra Club.
What's that?
I may throw a few rocks at the Sierra Club because they're really gotten heavily into this race and endorsing all the candidates. And my opponent is a 50-year member of the Sierra Club, and one of their stated policies is to get the livestock off the public land.
Which I think is very distracting to people because the average person wants to feel right.
Sure. I think, case in point, of Steinberg's legislation on veterans, you know, to get their noted on their driver's license as a means to get discounts and so forth. But the real ulterior motive was to get them pegged as potential blacks and for, you know, people that may have a gun and are crazy. Yeah, you know, at one time you could kind of believe science, so to speak, but now you question it every time you see, because you got to look at the assumptions that you that was the Green Chamber study had all kinds of flaws in it.
They think as long as their flaws develop, they support the truth.
Yeah, it's, I don't know where the world's headed. Sometimes, some days, I'm glad I'm not going to be here too much longer. See what the results are. I feel sorry for my grandkids.
It's Kelly here, and I've got Jerry Schickadance here, and we're talking about the Soil and Water Conservation Board. We're going to have a vote here, but we were talking off the air a little bit. You know, it's gotten to the point where everything has become so politicized that you can't take anything at face value. You cannot take scientific statements, especially as they involve environmentalism, without finding out who is deciding it, or who's offering it and what they have to gain. But this idea that there's one side of this debate that's pure-hearted and sincere, and the another side that's just corrupt is just so childish. So that's kind of how I see it. But I mean, it would be better to forget the so-called motivations of the two sides and get into the facts and let the facts lead us in the direction we should go.
Oh, very true, and. The progressive movement is trying to pitch the Doniana Soil and Water Conservation District program as being anti-environmentalist, anti-public lands, anti-wildlife, anti-everything, and that's far from the truth. The motives of the Soil and Water Conservation District are, as I stated earlier, protect homes and farms from floods, work on soil conservation issues and control flood water and protect the tax base. And
what about this idea that they have that you shouldn't do anything to change the land?
Well, that's an idea that I find has a lot of holes in it, or we're led to believe that if it's natural, it must be good, and that any changes that man does is bad, and that's far from the truth. If we let everything natural go on, we would have floods. We'd continue to have floods, but
you'd have no lakes, man-made lakes.
Yeah, we need to do things to control some of these issues that do harm the general public, and as you say. Well, here on the Rio Grande River, you can look back in history and read how the Rio Grande every year flooded immense thousands of acres, now the river is pretty well tamed in terms of floods from the river itself. I only remember one time in my short time here in New Mexico that it looked like the Elephant Butte Dam was going to top, and they were letting the maximum amount of water out, and the levees were full. It was almost a run over. But that's a rare thing, and we have control, and some would say, well, that's we need to breach all the dams and let everything be free again, but we can never go back to what you might consider pristine. Man is here, and
we've made an imprint.
Yes, and we can't change some of that.
You can't unring a bell, but what is at stake? You know, now that mankind has been here for hundreds or thousands of years, we've made an unforgettable and permanent impact on the environment, and to walk away at this point would be folly. It would be folly to think it would then go back to its natural state and everything would be like it was before. But what is at stake right now in the fight over the battle over the board?
Well, I think it's probably ideology. The environmental movement has pushed the issues, and they would like to get control of the board and push their agenda. The Sierra Club has backed all of the three opponents of the Soil and Water District Supervisors, and if you'd look at the policy statements of the Sierra Club, that's to get rid of livestock on the public lands, and that's a major portion of income to Doniana County. And I would foresee if they got control of the board, they would begin to push those kinds of agenda.
And what would be their argument for why you need to get livestock off the land? Number one, they would say probably that's not true because they know that it wouldn't play well to the public. But if you got them off the record and they admitted they were trying to get rid of the livestock, what would be their – and we do have a phone call, by the way. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Denicia.
Hey, Denicia. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning.
What's on your mind? What's on your mind?
I was calling to find out who is eligible to vote. And on the ballot itself, will it tell us who is a progressive and who is the different parties or different groups that are involved?
Okay.
In case we want to support a particular side.
Okay. The any registered voter in Doniana County can vote. They're eligible to vote. The three locations are the Doniana County Government Center, the Anthony, and Radium Springs Community Centers, and the candidates from the Doniana Soil and Water Conservation District is myself, Jerry Schickadance, in Zone 1, DJ Martinez in Zone 2 from the southwest portion of the valley, and Melissa Gorham is an at-large candidate. And these are the candidates that have experience on the board or have a major concern.
She's asking which ones are progressives and other ones. Which one are from the far left?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Kurt Anderson is my opponent in Zone 1.
Okay.
Sally Williams in the Southwest Valley, and Roger Beck.
Great.
They're all three being supported by the Progressive Alliance voters and Sierra Club. And
great. Thank you so much for bringing this to people's attention. I hope they get out there and vote and recognize that simply because somebody says they're progressive does not necessarily mean that that's in our best interest.
Yeah, that kind of progress is not necessarily what we need. And you see some of the drought problems in California go back 50 years when they stopped developing watersheds, they stopped building dams and man-made lakes and stuff. The impact would be much different, I think, if they had continued on. They had very good leadership in the first half of last century.
Right. So thank you so much for the information. Folks, get out there and vote.
Thank you. Have a good day. All right, folks. Talking to Jerry Schickenance. We're going to take a break here and come back. We will come back and talk to him in just a minute. But we're talking about this board and what it represents. It's really a proxy battle between the individuals who have a dog in the fight, people who live here, people who have spent their whole lives here and want a future in this valley for their children and for other members of the community to develop and keep agriculture developed, versus a group of people that you could almost say have a different religion. Their religion is the earth. They believe any change to the earth is harmful, and that man needs to step back and get in line and let earth run its natural course, which could include and will include floods and all kinds of different things. Kelly O'Connell and 7:30 on the button, 523-1450. It's AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE.
We're not hooked up like they are, you know, in
not,
terms
not
of.
Not only that, but they're not used to defending themselves. They're used to being in a debate where people are either educated or they're not. They don't just have their motives questioned or being religious to be bad people.
And mental community certainly is hooked up on social media.
Well,
I
think we need to expose the fact that they're part of a religion. You know, that it's not, you know, it's not, it's just a straightforward argument for some reason. It's a bunch of ideas that are not only not proven, but probably unproven.
Yeah, you know, the ag community, you know, like you say, been themselves against disinformation, hearsay, used to debating the facts.
Well,
and they don't have many facts on them. So, like I said, they just had pretty good facts, but facts themselves.
This notion that It's Kelly here. I got Jerry Schickadance and talking about voting on this board position, which has to do with natural resources. And what do you think the average person would be the most surprised about, Jerry, if they found out from the side of the progressives, what do you think would be shocking to them if they found out the intention or the plans of these progressives that want to take over the board of soil and water?
Well, I, from my position, I view it as an attempt to take down agriculture, that they don't really understand the importance of agriculture, and they're trying to couch it in terms of, as I said earlier, the Soil and Water Conservation Board is against a lot of these things, but they're against those things because they harm production agriculture. It's, we're certainly all in favor of trying to keep the economy strong and improving here. But I think if you look deep into a lot of the actions of the environmental left, that those things wind up harming production agriculture and the economy wherever they flourish. There's such things as the, you know, we can get into the debate on the spotted owl and the prairie chicken and the sagebrush and all those things. That
symbolic animals that at one point the public accepted without a second thought they were endangered and they had to be protected. And now we see decades into this fight for the endangered species that these are once again proxy fights. They're battles over something else. The endangered species are used to shut down production.
Very true. You know, at before the spotted owl gained, the Mexican spotted owl gained protection here in New Mexico, I think there were over 50 sawmills in New Mexico. Now, today, I'm not sure there is one viable sawmill left in the state of New Mexico. And so there's a whole industry that was eliminated.
Well, the argument is from the left is going to be, well, we're better off to not have these kind of industries that destroy the environment. What's your response?
They're getting destroyed by fire and disease and all kinds of things. Just look at the catastrophic fires that may have been not completely stopped by proper forced timber harvest, but it would certainly be less destructive than they are than what happened here the last 2 or 3 years in the forest.
So anyway, for instance, the sawmills and the lumber industry was managing the forests, in your opinion?
Very true. And probably one of the very few forests that is actively managed is the Mescalero Apache tribe. And they continue to cut trees. I think everyone driving up the highway to Ruidoso or through the Mescalero Reservation, talk about what a pretty place that is, but that's being harvested. And you go into the wilderness areas of New Mexico, I mean the federally designated wildernesses, and you do not find the same kinds of productivity going on there in terms of wildlife and forage, those kinds of things.
All right, so you take the predators out of an area, and then the animals have to be managed by people or they become overgrown. The elk, the deer, the turkeys and everything. The far left, the progressives, though, want to take out mankind and replace mankind and womankind with predators, what they call apex predators. They want to return the land to its primitive state, and that is going to help heal the earth.
Well, I have an opinion that that's not what's going to wind up happening. Those apex predators right now can't make a living where they would like for them to be, and so they move out into the production agriculture areas to find food.
Give an example of what you're talking about.
Well, I think the Mexican wolf is probably an example of that, that the Fish and Wildlife Service have tried very hard to keep them in the heart of the Gila wilderness, both in New Mexico and Arizona, but the wolves continue to have to move out and prey on livestock from the agriculture community to make a living.
So we're being told by the progressives that we need to return these animals to their primitive state, their original home, and that there will not be a problem between a man and animal. Once they get established, then they start picking off part of the flock and herd of the farmers because they can't make it. There's not enough in their area, or what, or it's easier?
Well, certainly it's easier prey for, you might say, defenseless livestock. I think the truth of the matter is that in the heart of the wilderness, we've seen a reduction in the number of mule deer, white-tailed deer. The elk are being pushed into new areas, and the wolves are preying on livestock.
All right, so they want to get rid of the human beings off the land. They want to get rid of the livestock. This is part of a religious view of life that's secular. It's humanistic. It is nature-based. And while these people certainly have the right to their beliefs and their practices, they shouldn't push it on the citizens of Doña Ana as if it were the only rational choice.
That's a nice view that everything could be happy again. But as you pointed out earlier, that man's here. We've made an imprint, and we can't go back to some of those conditions of 1,000 years ago. As you say, these animals need something to eat, and the Doña Ana Soil and Water Conservation District is looking out for that issue of Mexican wolves may someday be released in Doña Ana County, and the Soil and Water Conservation District has a resolution saying that before you release them, you need to do a predator-prey study to find out what they're going to be eating in Doña Ana County. Is there enough wild game to support wolves in Doña Ana County, or are they going to be supported off the backs of the farms and ranches?
A lot of people have bought into this kind of strange mentality that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens if you return the earth to its primitive state, because if it ends up coming back down and harming farmers, if they lose their herds because of these wolves and other predators, that's just payback for all the evil they've done to these creatures to get rid of them in the first place. I mean, it's a very strange view, Jerry.
Well, I think it's a little bit like people complaining about airports when the airport was there first and they've moved in around it, and now they complain about the noise from the airplanes, and they probably moved to that town because somewhat convenience of the airport to fly across the country.
Yeah, undoubtedly. But let's kind of see where the rubber hits the road here. What is going to be the impact locally, once again? What's going to be the local impact if people put in a majority of progressives on this board?
Well, my opinion is that the progressives will begin to implement their agenda, and that is certainly, as I pointed out, the Sierra Club is to take livestock off the public lands, and the livestock industry is an important part of the economy here, and so we will see reduced income to this county from the tax base, from the money that is circulated directly due to the livestock sales, the feed stores, all of the service industries that work with production agriculture. Many of them will not be able to survive.
then the response from the left is going to be, that's okay. You guys have been damaging the earth. As long as we return this area to its natural state, whatever the outcome is going to, by definition, be beneficial to human beings.
Oh, we can only go so far before people have to have something to eat. And you only get food from some sort of production practices. And I would hate to see the day that we have to rely on food from a foreign country.
Well, it's kind of headed that way, especially with the drought in California, and also, you know, with some of the practices being cut back. Folks, you're listening to Kelly O'Connell. You're listening to, as well, to Jerry Schickadance on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. Jerry Schickadance is a professor emeritus at NMSU and was the former dean of the program. And he has got a challenger position on the Soil and Water Conservation Board. And the challenger is progressive. Now, did you say that what group is backing these guys?
The Sierra Club.
The Sierra Club is backing this individual. So, anyway, you know, the Sierra Club has its own agenda. And do they have the interests of Dona Ana in there at heart, do you think, Jerry?
I think they would like to make you believe they do, but down deep, I think they're looking out for other things, their own agenda.
Such as?
Returning it back to nature, as you said.
Well, that wasn't part of your religion, returning the land to nature, it could be a total disaster, right?
Well, I would think so. Very true.
Well, folks, we'll take a little break here. 523-1450 to call in, and we will be right back to finish up the conversation with Jerry Schickadance. It's Kelly here, 1450 KOBE, with Jerry Schickadance, and he's running for the Soil and Water Conservation Board. But you've got these people running. You got three candidates from the Sierra Club. What do they represent?
They represent an agenda from the environmental community. As I said, the one that really concerns me, one of their policy statements is that they would like to remove livestock from the plants.
Why do they want to do this?
Livestock are destroying the ecosystem. They're killing plants, taking up a space that could be utilized by wildlife. But I'd like to point out that there's more wildlife here in Dona Ana County out away from the river because of the livestock producers developing water. In the very early days, the only water that was around here was in the Rio Grande River itself, and very many miles away from the river, and there was no natural water between here and Deming or further on out. And so the ranchers have improved the conditions for wildlife, not taken away from wildlife. They're actually supporting the very things that the Sierra Club say they're for.
So, I mean, if these people come in, they're going to try to stop the development of the watershed, right?
That's what we see as we need access to the watershed to do preventive maintenance or to do to build new structures or to manipulate the vegetation through spraying, reseeding, building small structures up in the watershed to prevent the flood waters. One of the things that I think you see very obvious, you see the big dams along the interstate, both sides of the highway, and that was some of the mentality 40, 50 years ago from the Corps of Engineers was to build big dams.
We have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Jeffrey Isabel. I just got some comments on this important election.
Well, Jeff, what's going on?
Well, no, I think the choice is clear from here listening to Jerry Shigatansky, the retired professor at MSU, Sarah Steen of the College of Agriculture, and he's running against an astronomy professor, a retired astronomy professor who's a lifelong member of the Sierra Club. Only experience he has is being an experienced progressive. So for this important election, man, Jerry Shigatansky sure does seem like the right candidate.
Excuse me. Appreciate the call, Jeff, and have a good day.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So the guy that's running against you is an astronomer?
That's my understanding. He's a retired astronomy professor from the university.
Well, that's impressive. Okay, I've got a little clip here from the United Nations Global Agenda of Action in Support of Sustainable Livestock Sector Development. There is about 2 minutes left on that, but that's all you really need to know. It's part of this belief that there is climate change, global warming. It's caused by mankind's greed. One of the causes is to by putting the animals out in the wilderness. They create more carbon, a bigger carbon footprint. They've got to be taken off the land. And there's just so many presumptions and statements in there that need to be challenged. But there has been a lot of science that have come out the last couple of years suggesting that global warming is stopped by itself, number one, and number two, that the science is based on falsification. Jerry?
Oh, it's hard to determine where the truth lies in the climate change, the global warming controversy. But I think that it's clear that there is climate change taking place, but whether it's man-made is debatable.
There's actually a consensus in the science that for the last 20 years there has been no rise in temperature. It's what they call this rest period or hiccup or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, and I certainly believe that change is going to occur. That I can look back in my lifetime and see the big droughts of the 30s, the 50s, and now. And before, I never heard anybody arguing that that was man-caused. But now, all of a sudden, man is the culprit. And I think if you would take a look at the volcano eruptions and stuff, and they put more ash and carbon into the air than anything that man does here locally.
Well, I mean, if you can control what people do, then you can feel like you're controlling the environment. I don't know if the temperature is rising. I do know that they've brought falsification into these stations where they measure the temperature. They've increased the temperature on the records to make up for what they claim is false reading.
And I think if you would look at the where the weather stations that were put in 100 years ago now have been surrounded by cities, by asphalt, and just a normal increase in temperature when defined within the city that used to be out in the open area. And so I think they're just a natural attribution of increasing temperature when you're looking at old-time records. And I think you see that time and again when you take a look at where the weather station is located currently and where it used to be relative to open space.
Yeah, so there's a lot less stations than there used to be. One of the difficulties is measuring the ocean temperature. The vast majority of the Earth is covered by ocean, and they have never figured out a way to measure the mean temperature. So anyway, Jerry, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Just have about a minute left, and there's vote tomorrow, and it is for the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. And the Sierra Club is brought on three candidates to challenge people like you. And so you're afraid that they're going to try to take the board over and stop progress, get rid of animals, shut down the water conservation. You got about 1 minute, Jerry.
That's my opinion, that they are, their agenda is to take over the board, and it's so stated in some of the progressive literature I've seen in the last few days. But I would urge people to get out and vote tomorrow for the current incumbents on the Soil and Water Conservation Board. Voting hours 7 to 7. I appreciate your vote, and I think it's necessary to keep production agriculture active here in Doniana County.
In other words, and that's a Blog Talk Radio. We've got.